Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Fandom Access. I'm your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. Oh, look, Karen's here already.
Hi, AJ. How are you?
Good evening, Karen. Good.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, how are you?
I think we'll have Jamie. I'm good. Pretty good week. Nice long weekend. How about you?
Yeah, I've been off since Thursday, so.
Oh, nice. Nice long weekend, yeah.
I took some time off from work. I had lots and lots of vacation time saved up. I never go anywhere. So I took 11 days off from work.
Wow. Did you do a staycation?
Yeah.
Ah.
No.
So hung around at home?
Just wasn't at work. I just took those 11 days so I could clean at home.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I guess, did you spend a lot of your time watching TV? Did you binge anything? No?
Not really. I think what the hell.
Yeah.
I haven't watched anything.
I didn't either. Yeah. I didn't either. I was away for a couple days last weekend.
You're always away.
Actually, I'm going away this weekend. I'm going to Uganda this weekend. I'm probably out for next week's podcast. But luckily, there's nothing on TV. We only watch three shows. So.
And I don't know about your other two, but the one you and I watch ain't that great. I got excited, and then I got very disappointed. So.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. Hi, Jamie.
We'll talk about
Hello.
Hi, Jamie. How are
Hello.
You?
What is AJ discussing about? I heard half of that.
Oh, Preacher. He's discussing with Preacher.
Oh, okay. I see.
Preacher, yeah.
I did not want that. All right.
Yeah.
So do you want to start with fear?
Let's talk about fear. No, let's do fear. I think I feel about fear the same way that AJ felt about Preacher, in that I got excited for a while because I think this was generally a better episode, but it wasn't actually necessarily a really good episode. It was just, I felt like it was better this week than it has been, probably because Morgan wasn't in it.
Did you like it any better?
Like,
well, I mean, it sounded like there was going to be a good story in it, and then it just kind of, like, fizzled to nothing. That's what I felt like. And I felt like they totally ripped off the original series and just gave us Gabriel, but in a different way, which, I mean, it's okay. But I don't know. I just thought, okay, there's going to be some storyline here. They're going to maybe come there, and, you know, something new will go on. Maybe they'll have a place to stay, and then it just ends up in the end they just leave like it didn't even happen. So I'm not sure what the point is unless – Peter Jacobson's character is going to stay in the show. I mean, I think that could be good. He's a good actor, but not, I don't know. It just seems like the episode was for nothing in a way because nothing really happened. Because they left in the end. I did like, Dwight and, Mo, I couldn't think of her name. Their scenes were kind of funny, with them drinking everything, but again, I mean, the only thing that really was important, in my opinion, was what happened at the end, which was that I can't think of the character's name. Help me out here, Matt Frewer.
Logan. Mm-hmm.
That Logan was there and then wasn't. I guess they got what they needed. I mean, that was kind of the only important thing. I mean, I get the point of the episode was like she wants to settle down, that, you know, June's afraid to and all that. But I don't know. I didn't find it super exciting. I mean, like you said, it was okay. It wasn't bad. But I feel like not a lot happened until the end that was really, I don't know, necessary to the plot, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you on a whole lot of that. I love Peter Jacobson. I mean, I've liked him in a bunch of shows that we've watched, including Colony. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a good addition. I am happy. I would like to see him become a regular. He does seem to have joined the convoy. Yeah. So that's nice. But I felt like, so for a lot of the episode, I felt like, is this a Father Gabriel story? Like a man of faith alone in his house of worship is something we saw in Walking Dead early on. And I was waiting to see where this would go. And it's different and yet kind of the same. This is also a man who abandoned his congregation and abandoned his faith. So in that sense, it's kind of the same story. We didn't, you know, we didn't really see a man of faith.
The other thing I thought was kind of strange too, though. I was just going to say, it's like he didn't want to kill them or he didn't want to shoot them because they're his congregation or whatever. But yet he seemed to be okay stabbing them in the face. Did you notice that? I don't know why, but to me that was like, I'm thinking, why did he? I get that he didn't want to shoot them, but a couple of them he pulled out of the door and stabbed and didn't seem to have a problem with it. So I don't know. That part made me laugh, but
yeah. I also felt like, so, you know, this is a show that I think there are too many characters on this show now. I mean, you know, June even mentions there are now 36 people in the caravan, about at least 12 of them who have speaking roles, and we need to really, like, I think we need a lot of people to get killed. But so we haven't seen Charlie in a while because they don't have time to focus on all these characters, and we finally get to see Charlie, and I felt like they did not treat her like the survivor that we know she is. Like, she does an incredibly stupid thing.
Yeah, she was, like, whiny. Yeah.
Well, she's like 14,
not whiny,
13,
was upset
and she runs away. Well, I mean, she runs away in the night, which is just ridiculous that a person, you know, now 4 or 5 years into the apocalypse and who's a kid who survived with the vultures and really is a survivor would do something that, as you say, childish, I think, you know, why you say, I think, childish and stupid to do that.
And put them in danger, too. They had to come get her. We've talked about this
before.
Well,
like, once again, the writers have characters do things because the story that they want to write demands it, not because it makes any sense for the character. I was not aware until this episode that June apparently is in charge of the entire caravan. Like, I kind of thought,
or like
Morgan
she thinks she is anyway.
Sort of well, like,
well,
so they can't
there,
stop
maybe.
Anywhere. They can't
no,
stop anywhere because June doesn't want to stop, and June is running
ragged. Yeah,
I
didn't realize they were so scared of. I don't know. I didn't realize they were so scared of Logan and that they were just like rushing away from him. I don't know, for whatever reason, I didn't quite get. I mean, I know at one point they were, but I didn't realize like they were like, we can't stay here because he's going to come. Like, I mean, to me, just like when they said that when they had the tanker truck or whatever, it's like there's a lot more people than Logan's little group. I'm not sure why they're so terrified. I think I missed something or the writing missed something, but
it's terrible because Logan has demonstrated he hasn't killed anyone. He hasn't shot anybody. In fact, last week he blocked the road and Dwight and Morgan and Al are like, okay, we'll turn around and leave. No shots are fired. Logan never really, I feel like Logan has demonstrated a real reluctance to engage in violence. He's threatening.
Before he's a villain, but he's not really he's still a villain. He's still bad, but he's not like, I've said that before, like he's not like an evil, evil villain like we're used to, you know?
He's stupid. It's a stupid story. Like, he's not threatening or scary. Like, he doesn't do anything. He makes no sense whatsoever there. Like, we don't know what he wants. We don't know why he wants it. Like, he wants gas. Okay. All right, whatever.
It's a shame.
Aside from the fact,
is such a good actor, and they're totally wasting him on the
character. I think he's bad in this role. I think Matt Frewer is rising to the level of the material, which is shitty, and he's not, like, I like him. I don't think we're seeing, it's not like they're giving him anything to really show his best ability.
Right.
Right.
The writing's not real great right
so
now.
So he's a totally non, I don't know why June won't stop at night because, or, you know, won't stop anywhere to live because she's so afraid of him. And he's way less scary than any villain we've ever met on either of these two shows.
Yeah, there's only like him and a few people with guns. That's what concerns me. Like, you have all these people in your caravan and you have a tanker truck.
They have any guns. We're not aware that they have too many guns. They have a few pistols. We don't really see a lot of guns in the convoy. But at any rate,
I mean, his people had a couple guns. But other than that, it just seems like there's a lot more people.
But
I don't know.
I don't understand how it's safer to camp out in like a wagon train at night than to stay. They could have stayed at the factory where at the end of last season, Logan gives them back the factory. They don't stay there. Daniel has a huge warehouse stocked with everything they could need. They don't stay there. There's a mall stocked with everything they could need. They don't stay there. I mean, what really was wrong with the temple, the synagogue? So the fence wasn't good, but they could fix the fence. Like, it just makes no sense. It makes no sense. June makes no sense. They're just writing it because they want them. The writers want them to be on the road for, like, I don't know what reason.
No, I agree. I mean, I could say maybe they're trying to – I felt like maybe they're trying to say that June, like, is afraid to stop. Like, it's not just him. It's, like, things go wrong when she's a place and stops. Because even they made a comment. It took me a second to get that they meant, like, about the ballpark or whatever when they were there before. And I know before, if you think about it, she never wanted to stay at that ballpark because bad things happened and she was always on the run. So I kind of get that she's with a group, but she's still kind of in that mindset. But it isn't established enough to make sense to the story. Like, they haven't even talked about that in a long time. So, yeah, I don't know. And the fact that they – I want to know what the big thing is that Logan got her tapes. Like, I get she locked these tapes in that bank or whatever. I forget what it was, but whatever it was. I get that, like, she locked them there or whatever, and it mattered to her, but – I'm concerned or confused what he thinks he's going to do with them. Like, they're not going to give up, even if they did find the oil, they're not going to give it to him for tapes. I mean, that's just dumb. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where it's going. I don't know.
Again,
the episodes are bad. It just seems like the writing's all over the place. Like, it's not going anywhere, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, it's not because the writers don't know what they're doing, and these stories, I feel like, are written – even this Charlie at the temple story, which was a little bit better. And I guess I felt like, so are we supposed to be seeing some parallels with Judaism and wandering in the desert and like, or is this just about like, should you have faith in God? Like, I wasn't really sure where it was going. I'd like to see what they can do with this character, but yeah, it all makes no sense because they just need it to be what, like, no one ever had a problem with gas until one day the story decreed that all the gas didn't work anymore. And the only way to get gas was for Morgan to own an oil refinery. So to me, the fight over gasoline is makes no sense. Like, I get, and I appreciate stories about fighting over resources, which is in effect season 7 and 8 of The Walking Dead, which were horrific and terrible deep into the Negan years. But they were really about struggling for control of resources, right? And and that makes sense to me. But this resource of gasoline, like, one day we wake up and the writers want everything to be about a struggle for gasoline that we don't even know. Like, I'm sick of the mystery man Logan business. Like, what is he up to? Yeah. What does he need the gas for? Like, tell us what's going on, right?
That's why I wondered if maybe it had to do with the whole, and I told you this, but I kind of for a second wondered if maybe it had to do with the whole helicopter thing and that.
The helicopter
people. Seems to have this secret. Yeah, but I don't know that makes sense. Like, I thought of it for like 2 seconds, and I was like, yeah, that don't make sense. But then again, none of this makes sense.
Yeah. You're right. None of it makes sense. But
I was just going to say about the scene in this episode, the thing that I thought was stupid, and granted, I mean, it was fun in the sense of, like, it was a cool scene, the way it was filmed to watch and everything, but made no point, like, with them climbing over the ladders in an impossible way to get over to the truck and everything. And Charlie just stands there because I guess at that point she was planning to stay whether they stayed or not. I wasn't quite sure, but they don't try to help, like, they didn't have to necessarily, you know, lead them all through the church to get rid of them, but they could have made some kind of noise to distract them so they could get across and not die. And they just stood there watching them almost get eaten. That irritated the crap out of me. It was stupid. That whole
thing. Yes, exactly. If he could blow the shofar and lure them all into the temple, why didn't he just do that? Why did they do this incredibly dangerous and risky thing with the ladder? They just did it because I feel like the writers wanted to have a stunt, right? And let's do this incredibly elaborate thing with these ladders.
You need a story behind the cool stunt.
Yes.
So
it's very similar to what we talked about last week, where Wes is like, I'll go out the front door and, like, shoot them all, and you guys get the keys.
Just, like,
and then And then in the end, they run out the back door. So why didn't he just run out the back door in the first place, right?
Yeah.
We saw the
yeah.
exact same thing. I felt like this thing with the ladders. It's like they need to have a set piece every week with some kind of incredible stunt or whatever. That makes no sense. And why would they ever do that when they could just create a distraction with noise and then go out the back door? And why did everyone on the show for the first three seasons, Nick was constantly putting zombie blood over his head to walk among the zombies and never get eaten. And it's like everybody forgot on the show. Nobody does that, right? I think you mentioned that maybe 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this.
I think sometimes maybe they should do it, but at the same time, you don't want it to be too much. Because as I said before,
it
reminds me of like Superman. You know, you can't just spin the world around each movie to fix everything. Like at a certain point, you don't want them to use that as like this is the thing we do when we can't think of anything else. But at the same time, once in a while, I think even if they're just covered in blood, like showing that they were doing it, it would be beneficial to the story, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To both stories.
Right. I did also. I'm a little irritated that we had this business. So we agreed last week that it was ridiculous the way in which Logan found Logan can find where Alice hiding all of her tapes in this bank, but he can't find the oil fields, which he apparently found this week. But I guess something in the tapes maybe.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to find. So I hate the tapes, and I'm really sick of Al and her make-a-tape business, which has taken over the whole show and become sort of the answer to everything. Like, oh, Morgan, you're depressed? Make a tape. And I'm sick of the tapes, but I feel like if they're going to do this, let's see Al's reaction, right? Like, I'd like to see Al discovering all her tapes are stolen, if they are, or what happened there. But instead of seeing like apparently, I mean, those are hours and hours of tapes. It would have taken Logan like a long time to go through them all. And what did he learn? Who slipped? Who said what? Like they just like gloss over all this stuff, like with no, not that I want to see a whole hour of him watching tapes of people, but they seem to just like skim over stuff to move along this. Yeah.
It's like they stretch out things they shouldn't, and the things that may be interesting, they kind of just move through right away. So.
I do agree with you. A high point was Mo and Dwight talking, but Mo is always a high point. Like she's sort of a comic relief to a certain degree on this show, right? And I liked her and Dwight hanging out, drinking beer. I thought it was interesting to find out that she's not only Jewish, but she was kind of a religious Jewish person who,
that surprised
you know,
me. Not the Jewish person, but she was like, oh yeah, let me go with you and, you know.
Let me go pray with you and let's do the, I'm not Jewish, I don't remember the prayer, but that she was going to go do it with him.
Know.
And so I wonder if Wendell, her brother, also is. But at any rate, I was kind of surprised at that. I thought I enjoyed her scenes. I enjoyed Pierre Jacobson, but a lot of it just, I mean, this show is just so bad now from week to week that, you know, it's, so I also liked the very first scene where they run over the same zombie like 8 times until it's a pancake. At least they found a new way to kill a zombie this week, but I want to see some people get killed. Is that bad, Jamie, that I want to see, like, at least 5 people get killed?
Well, it is a zombie show, and we haven't really seen anybody get killed. They just keep adding people, so I think it's going to happen pretty soon. But I kind of get it. I mean, I don't want to see, like, the characters we like get killed, but at the same time, it's like you're waiting for something. It keeps feeling like something's going to happen just because it hasn't, and it just keeps continuing to not be, like, you need some kind of, like we said, Logan's not really a scary villain. There's not as much of a threat that, you know, something bad's going to happen to them. They're just kind of moving along. And after a while, it's just something that's more exciting needs to happen, I guess.
Yeah. Something that's more exciting and that makes sense in some sort of storytelling fashion. Like, they're just leaving out so much. Like, maybe my biggest thing is Logan. Like, could they flesh him out to make him a more understandable villain? Because this battle over the fate.
Or move on, one or the other. But,
yeah, or move on. Yeah. Yeah. So, I think that was episode 12. So there's only, I don't know how many, not too many more, but maybe they're doing 16, right? Maybe only 4 more before the season finale.
Probably not that many. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Walking Dead's back, I think, October 5th. And it will certainly end before October 5th, yeah. So only a couple more episodes. I don't know if this show is fixable. I don't know what you think, if this show has gotten so bad now.
I would have said that about the regular show. Because it seems like they were just doing things for the point of doing it, and it wasn't going anywhere, but they kind of fixed it. I just sometimes wonder with that show if it's a little too late. I mean, we're still watching it, so maybe not, but I think they lost a lot of viewers. The problem is that AMC, because it's not like a main network, like even with the viewers they've lost, we said this before, that the viewers they're getting is still, for them, huge. So they're not going to get rid of the show. You know what I mean? To some extent, I feel like, and I've said this before, they're doing another spinoff. Why can't they take and put the energy into making the shows that they have good again? Like, just because you have it there and it's called Walking Dead, I don't think people are going to indefinitely keep watching it. You know, at a certain point, they're just adding more and more to make more money, and it's just kind of annoying. So I don't know.
So I read an article. I read a piece recently, and it may have been Forbes. So there's this guy, Eric Kane, who recaps Fear, Walking Dead and Fear for Forbes. And he's one of the very few, like big level outlets that's still covering the show, right? Like Forbes is a pretty mainstream business publication and they're still covering it. And I do enjoy his work, and he hates the show so much, but I think it was Eric Kane or somewhere else in Forbes that speculated that AMC may be trying to put on Walking Dead for 52 weeks of the year, that if they can get Walking Dead for 16 and Fear the Walking Dead for 16, and if the third show goes for 16, now that's 48 weeks, and they're, you know, that so you take off Christmas and Thanksgiving and whatever, and you're pretty much on year round, and it's now the Walking Dead channel. And is that what they're striving for with three series? Probably.
Well, it's making money. That's what they care about in the end, right? To some extent.
Well, yeah. And they lead it into other shows. Like, you know, have I watched other shows on AMC because they came on like Sunday nights, my AMC night. So Preacher's on also, right? I don't know. But maybe they are trying to just become a walking – like, it seemed reasonable to me. Three shows, 16 weeks each. Now you got 48 weeks.
Yeah.
Now you're pretty much on year-round. Yeah.
A big money thing. And speaking of AMC, the thing is I keep hearing good things about The Terror this year, and I keep thinking maybe I should try watching it again. But like I said, I watched that first episode, and I was like, could not get into it. Usually I give shows more time, but when I'm like really bored and just I'm kind of like, I don't want to watch this again. But I don't know. I keep thinking I might try it again because I have heard some good things about it. It like sounded good. The idea sounded good, but in practice, in theory, at least, you know, practice when I tried, I can't talk. When I watched the first episode, it seemed like it maybe could have been good, but wasn't. So I don't know. I might give it another shot at some point. But
I have been recording it. My DVR is recording it automatically because I recorded last season, so I have it all. So I thought about it. I mean, George Takei's association with the show is a big plus for me, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. It's just the idea, it sounded good. Like, even the beginning of it, like, it seemed like it was going to be good, but, like, I don't want to say nothing happened. It's not that nothing happened. It just seemed kind of slow, which I kind of had the same problem with the other one a little bit, I think. The other one, to me, was, like, too much, just in my own personal opinion, was too much, like, historical, like, making it more like a it was definitely not a documentary, but you know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of it was, like, to try to make it, like, what really happened and everything, and it kind of had that feel, which I'm just normally not that into.
Oh, because it was based on a true lost expedition.
Yeah. Right, and it's not just it was based on a true one. It was made to feel very much like that, I guess. Like, it was more, it felt like a historical show. This one at least feels more, like, a little bit more science fiction horror, but I don't know. I'd have to try it again and see if I could get further than the first episode, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the other one, I watched half the season. I liked it, but then I just kind of, like a lot of things, don't have time to watch it and then just kind of falls by the wayside, and it didn't pull me enough in to get me to come back, you know?
Yeah.
So.
So, Maybe I'll watch it and we'll talk about it next week, maybe. We'll see.
I'll catch up on some of my screeners that I'm so far behind.
Yeah, yeah. So, so should we move on to Killjoys?
Yep, I think so, unless you have anything else, something else to add.
No, I don't have anything more to add about Fear. It's, you know,
okay.
It's horrible. so, okay.
So Killjoys. Which has been pretty good. this episode was focused on the other characters, I feel like, more than most of them. Although we did have, you know, the trio go into the planet to try to get the satellite hooked up and everything. But I don't know. I found not that the main storyline wasn't interesting. I don't mean that. But I found more interesting kind of the other storyline, the B storyline with Zeph and all them. I enjoyed just that with Torin and Zeph and Pri and all that. And finally, I'm blanking on his name again. But
Pri's
boyfriend. Yeah, Garrett. He finally tells them, and which was cool. And I don't know. I enjoyed their story. I'm kind of seeing how they're trying to, take care of things on their end. And it seems like to me, did you see the preview?
Did I see the preview? What happens in the preview?
It's something about Zeph, because it seems like they're kind of hinting some of where the alien came from. And I'm guessing from what they've shown, I mean, not that they've actually outright shown too much, but I had forgotten, but she had mentioned it before about she had left, like, her family or whatever, because it was, like, I guess it was sort of like a cult from what I'm remembering. And since they showed some of that in the preview and made it and insinuated that it was connected with that, maybe, like, you know, there were aliens running the cult or something. I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see how that fits in. Because I didn't expect that to happen. I was going to say, the other thing is we get Fancy back this week, too, which was cool. And it was great to find out it was actually Lucy, I can't talk, that was helping him get out because he kept hearing that noise. And I didn't, like, figure it out till they said it at the end, so I thought that was pretty cool. I know we talked about Lucy coming back. I'm still glad they brought Lucy back. I mean, we talked about it, but in the end, I'm so glad she came back.
I'm glad she's back, but I could have been totally okay with her not coming back. Yeah. I thought that she had a good ending, right?
Yeah, I would have been okay with it, too, but I think because it's the end of the series. Like, if this had happened, like, you know, a couple seasons ago, it would have been, like, fine, but, like, it's the end of the series, you kind of want it to have a happy, you know, ending for people just because it's the end, so I didn't mind that. I don't know why I'm, like, blanking on every time I try to say somebody's name today. I don't know why. But with the others making their little fake history lesson, that was kind of funny. And, of course, you know, Johnny's off doing tech stuff.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like that girl's going to stay with them, too, now. She's maybe going to help them and not run away again, hopefully, Calvert.
Oh, Calvert, yeah. Well, because they let her in on the truth, right? Like, they gave her a kid.
Yeah,
what
they should have done before.
Yeah. One thing I liked about this episode was that it reminded me of, like, a season 1, 2, 3 episode where they had, like, a mission, like a caper, you know? I call it a caper because it was kind of a mission but kind of a comedy, right? They had, like, a place they had to go and a thing they had to do, and that's something that we haven't really had so much. It's been so heavy, right, and so, like, end of the world for a long time now, for all of last season and this season. And I kind of really liked that we had, like, just the threesome. Well, we only had the threesome together for a while, but that they have to go someplace and steal something or, you know, get this message out or whatever.
As much as it was connected, it was a little more weekly, I guess you could say.
Yeah, there was a chance for them to, like, bring the comedy a little bit and the interpersonal. You know, I mean, we had like a serious conversation between Davin and Dutch about like, well, what happens if Johnny leaves? Like, can we be just the two of us? I don't, and we talked about that last week, you and I did. You know, I guess they'll have, if they have the ship, they'll have Lucy to do all the smart stuff for them because they're not the brains. I mean, they're not dumb. They're just
unless
not the science people.
Yeah, I don't know, unless, like, maybe Zeph will actually, because she was, like, being one of them for a while. She was really getting into their, as you said, capers, and then
yeah.
kind of got all the mythology, you know, these last couple seasons, and a lot of that we kind of lost, because she was
yeah.
becoming one of the group. So hopefully she'll stay with them and
yeah.
join them. I really like her and Torn together, though. I think they're really funny together.
I do, too, because, like, she's not a warm and fuzzy type of person. I mean, she's gotten better, but she always was a little bit like, you know, weird, sciencey, loner kind of person. And she's totally been that way while she was,
yeah.
you know, brainwashed by the lady. And then Torin is totally, like, antisocial and hates everyone yeah, and is mean. And I agree with you. I like them together. I also like them with Pri, who's, like, very, like, much more about feelings and in touch with his feelings, and like he's a warm and outgoing person, and
mm-hmm.
I just liked having all sort of the misfits together, Zeph's whining and Torn's yelling at her, and you know, I liked the way they broke them out this week. I thought they like the show is bringing it in the last season.
In
terms
of
a
really good
story.
Yeah, but I feel like, and I've thought this before about this show, but it's got a lot of really good supporting characters too, and I think that's why I liked this episode a lot, because we got to see, you know, more of the supporting characters in the show,
yeah.
which not that we don't usually, but usually they don't play as big a part. And
yeah.
like even Fancy, like I always liked Fancy, and I thought that was pretty awesome when he came in. And you know,
I had forgotten
Fancy's ship in the end.
I had to Google it. He's been kidnapped for like since like way into last season, and being held by the like. When I saw him, I was like, "Wait, why is he there? How did he get there?" Like, I had to go to the wiki.
Are you sure? I thought he just got captured when he helped Pri get away a couple weeks ago. Maybe
was he in that episode? Was he in that episode? Yeah.
Yeah, he. That was when he first
yeah,
came to help him
I forgot
and he told Pri to run.
Yeah. That's right,
yeah.
And Zeph gave him the thing, and he was like, "Who am I?" What?
Oh yeah, that's,
I forgot
that,
about
that.
I forgot we saw him. I googled like I googled all last season because I thought we hadn't seen him. But
he was probably kidnapped then for something else.
Yes, he seemed to be like randomly on the ship, and I remember that he used to be Hullen also. So
yeah.
I don't know if he has Dav's like abilities with the green. But he also is an ex-Hullen. But
they had turned him quite a while ago. I forget how they did, but something they did had
yeah.
turned him.
So I have to admit that the story got away from me a little bit there. Like, all the stuff that happened down in Westerly, and by the way, I really loved that scene where Zeph wanted to put the camera inside with the squid, and
yeah.
and Torin and Pri were freaking out.
Yeah.
But when we got up to Fancy on the ship, and I'm like, wait, why is he there? How did he's hanging from his wrist? What? And then he gets rescued, like he gets away, and then it turns out it was Lucy, and like I'm like, wait, now he's on Lucy? Like, wait, they're on the ship. How is he? Then they come down and rescue them from the military base, but now they got to sneak the ship back. So the lady won't know they're there. Like, it sort of got away from me a little bit there in the middle. And I was like, okay,
yeah, there's
don't
kind of
think
a lot going
about
on at
it.
Once, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, oh, cool, Fancy. Like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really think about
yeah.
it. But, yeah, there is more going on right now. But at least they got their shit back,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like regardless of Lucy being on there or not, I had mentioned last week that I thought they still needed their own shit back. So.
Yeah,
and I like it's bringing them all together to help out. Like I said, not just the three of them, but they're kind of all in it. And thankfully, most of them have their memories back now.
Yeah,
I feel though like Pri and Garrett kind of missed what was going on though, because they made a comment of
yeah.
like nobody's there, and I don't know, like, I felt like something was going to click with them and they were going to, like, realize what was going on, but, like, they didn't quite get it. I mean, I guess they weren't meant to yet, but because they've got to realize that it's bad. They're all in the factories, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure
I think in the end, Johnny will not go off on his own. I think they're talking about it so much that it's a misdirect.
Really? See, I thought he would since a couple seasons ago when he made that comment that was what he wanted was to live on a farm. And when he was, I think he was with the other girl at the time. I can't remember, but. I mean the one that was like made part robot pieces or something. I think it was during those episodes or something where he had made a comment that he wanted to live on a farm.
Oh, that girl with the robot arm.
Know.
Yeah, he was in love with that girl with the robot arm.
Yeah, I think it was in the episode. I think it was in the episode she was in. It may not have been, but I just remember them walking through a field or something and him, like, saying, you know, that's what he really wants is to be able to, retire and relax. And will he stay that way? I don't know. Like, I can see him going for the year sabbatical and then coming back. But,
because he only says this stuff when he's in love with a woman. I think what Johnny really wants is to settle down with a woman and, like, have a family or something and be, like, I think Johnny, more than the other two, is looking for a partner, and they keep getting killed. And I don't know if he will really do that unless he suddenly, like, falls in love with the warden in the next 2 weeks because she's the only available girl.
They kind of had a thing for a little bit, but not that deep.
Yeah, but I don't think they're gonna. And there's also Lucy, who's his, you know, in some ways, Lucy's his true love, not really, but, you know, like, they're best friends. He and Lucy are so connected, and I don't know if it'll end like that, because I just don't really. It would make more sense to me if he was partnered when he did that. And I wonder if they're making such a big deal out of it. So in the end, he'll be like, no, I'm going to stay. And we'll all be like, yay, great ending.
I don't know. I said, I could see him going on that year trip. Like the thing is with these shows anymore, for all you know, I'm not saying I want them to, you know, I dislike them, but I could even see them doing a time jump where, like, they show him taking that year and then, like, they show end, like, him being like, nope. And then they all come back together and go get some warrants or whatever. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know what episode number this is. I was trying to think. 7. So
this was 7.
I'm not sure how many
13,
there is.
Maybe
12
probably, or
13. It's probably about halfway.
So that means we have to deal with I really hate the lady. The lady is she's such a whiny little baby for a superpowered villain.
She's in a younger body.
Right now. You're right. She is in sort of an adolescent body and can't handle her emotions. And I'm a little sick of Klein.
I still like Klein a lot.
But, I'm really glad that they put Anila in a box and I don't have to see much of Anila for the next couple episodes. I would like...
Actually, her son's in the box now, but yeah.
Oh, wait, she put her son... She came out. You're right. She came out and they put her son in the box next week. I'm glad he's in the box also because I don't really want to see a kid for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, but not for nothing. He's not a little kid. He doesn't bother me like little kids on shows.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, the threesome be able to be the ones that defeat the lady.
Yeah.
You know.
And
see what happens with these other two. But at any rate, I think they're having a good last season. I mean, you and I both think it's been generally a good show for most of the show. For what it is.
I'm sad it's going to be over. I mean, I know it's kind of come to its end. It's not like it hasn't been on long enough. It's been on 5 years, but I hope that sci-fi has, you know, some more good stuff coming, but a lot of the stuff that's coming is like kind of further out. So
yeah,
I haven't heard as much necessarily about it. So,
So before we move on to Preacher, I would like to say, Jamie, how sorry I am that all the OA petitions and everything didn't work, and it seems pretty definite now that it's dead, right? Like, it came out this week that Netflix was like, no.
There's a couple different things that are thought. I mean, is it coming back? I don't know. A lot of the thing is, this is why you never know what's true with things. One article came out saying that they had – basically inside information that somebody that was close to the show said that it's not coming back. So I don't know. When I hear things like that, I'm kind of hesitant because I feel like
it came out in Daily Variety. It wasn't like blog. It was Variety, which is the Bible of the industry, right?
No, no, I know. But I guess what I'm saying is what irritates me is that, like, it comes out, and then every other article that came out was, like, based on that article. You know what I mean? Like, there's been no other news, which is kind of surprising. I'm not saying it has come back. It may not. But the truth is that I think the stuff that's happened is really cool because it's created a group of people that have, you know, been doing stuff and been doing good things. Like, they're, you know, trying to help the environment, and they're having some different things where they're donating some money to different things in addition to trying to advertise. I don't think it's going to stop anytime in the very near future. Whether or not it's going to work, I don't know. But I think it's kind of cool to see people come together to support things. And it's, a lot of it's, too, about it being so unique and kind of not like a lot of corporate shows that are, you know, made the way they are. Like we talk about Walking Dead, you know, they do what they do to get the money. And it's a show that was definitely seemed like it was a unique vision. The only thing that's kind of bad is that a lot of what's been done and the good things that have been done have been overshadowed because the only thing they keep talking about in the news is the girl that was doing the hunger strike. And I think we talked about this before, and which apparently was about some other things, not just about the OA, but they focused on it in a lot of articles. And I think sometimes it makes it seem like, I don't want to say bad publicity because it's not bad publicity, but it's just, you know, people aren't condoning that and telling people to go do that, you know, and it makes it seem like maybe they're
not. Well, I wouldn't condone it, and I it's not a very serious subject to go on a hunger strike over, really.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's about some other things, too. It's not just about the show, but it's what's been – it's what people have focused on in the different articles because, you know, it's something that gets noticed, but it isn't necessarily the good side of it, you know. People shouldn't be doing that. But you know, the actors still like it, want to save it. They probably are off contract. I mean, I don't necessarily
know. They are
know
filming other things,
happen.
Some of them. Yeah, they're all released from their
contracts,
right? Yeah,
but I don't think people are ready to – everybody's ready to give up yet, though. I mean, it's still going
on,
we'll just say that. But
you guys go for it.
Yeah, but it was still an awesome show. I think some people are hoping for at least a movie. Other people have said they don't want anything if they don't get a show. I'm kind of the opinion I've said this before. I just want to see an ending. I want to know what was supposed to happen. I don't care if she writes a book. I just want to know what
she said.
Britt
Marling,
you know,
said no movie. Britt Marling came out and said no movie.
They said that they wouldn't.
It was supposed
to be, I guess.
It was supposed to go 5 seasons, and a 2-hour movie will not be enough time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And so no movie.
No, I know, so they're not agreeing to that. I would still rather see something than nothing, but I know people don't always agree with me when I say that, so.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I know.
Anyway, so
I wanted to tell
you
how sorry I was.
That's okay. Thanks. But I did want to say, and you know, that obviously I put up that interview with Jason Isaacs. He does talk a little bit about the OA and said really good things about it. And I know he knows everything that people are doing because he was talking about it, so. And which also led me to, I was going to say, Dark Crystal. I did want to take a couple minutes because before I couldn't really say a lot because it hadn't come on. But because I know you had said you guys were interested when I saw it because I hadn't seen, you know.
I haven't watched it.
When I was younger.
I did put it on, and I put on the first episode, and I watched like the first 5 minutes, and then like I had to do some other stuff, and I had it on, and I got a feel for the look of it. And it is so incredibly just like the original Dark Crystal, and yet on a different level because the technology has advanced even for puppetry, right? Like I feel like,
but
I feel like
designs. That's what I think is really cool. Like the characters still fit exactly the same.
Yeah, like I totally understand now what you were saying about how they look exactly the same. Kind of like that's really true to how the Gelfling and the how they looked. How they like it looks, and yet it's just like, I mean, the technology for filming them has looked like, I don't know if puppetry is really advanced, but just film has advanced and they look like kind of different and combined with, I think it looks pretty amazing for someone who has watched it before. I didn't pay attention too much beyond, I mean, within the first 5 minutes, who appear to maybe be the two main Gelfling when they kiss, and you understand they're a couple, and there's some, he gets kicked out of the army or whatever. I didn't pay attention beyond that, but I was impressed with the look of it, for sure.
Okay. Well, let me know if you do watch it, if you decide to. It's a good story. It is, like I said before, it does get kind of dark. The thing is, what I was worried about through it is, and this isn't even, as long as you've seen the movie, that saying this isn't a spoiler if you've seen the original movie, but you know that this is a prequel. And what I was kind of worried about is, this show, I mean, it's really a good show, but I'm kind of like worried through the whole thing, like, how are they going to end it? Because you know in the end what happens. I mean, it's a prequel. You know that all of them get killed. And that's why for me, I'm like, I hope this isn't going to like end totally sad with them all dying in the end. But they, you know, it's done in a way it works out and it's, you know, takes place beforehand. But so
have
I don't
you
know,
watched the entire
kind
thing?
Of worried about through. Yeah, I had watched it before the interview. I'd watched the whole thing. I really liked it. I think it's definitely left room they could do more if they wanted to. I'm not sure they are. So I don't know. I had heard, I think they're doing other parts of the world, maybe doing stuff for. I don't know. But if you like the original, think you'd like it. It's definitely not just a kid's story. I really liked it. So there's a lot of the other show I was going to say. I just want to mention. I don't know if you guys heard about. Now that I said that, I can't think of what it's called. There's another show coming up. It's un. That might be Amazon though. Un something. I can.
There's one coming on NBC about a little girl who has powers. I think it's NBC. There's one coming on Network about a little girl who's emergence.
About the little. What's to do with aliens? I think. But no, this is something that's one of the streaming shows I was going to mention. But it's not, I don't think for a couple of weeks. It's something. I want to say Unreal, but that's not what it is. It's un-something, but that's on Amazon. But anyway, and I still haven't watched Carnival Row. I want to mess with that. But that's about it for now. I know, obviously, Van Helsing is coming back soon, hopefully.
Yep. I got to go back and reacquaint myself with where we left off.
Yeah, maybe skip all the stuff of what's his face that you don't like. So, yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it then. I will talk to you guys next week. I don't think there's anything. Has there been anything? The only thing I was going to say is I don't tend as much like DC shows. Now I'm probably going to end up seeing Suicide Squad because I just saw Peter Capaldi was cast in it. I'm like,
no. Now you're going to watch it.
That was my only other comment. It's like, now, depending how big his part is, I might want to go see it. So, all right. I'll have to
totally
find you guys.
Fair.
AJ, if you're still there, have all a right. good night. He's so quiet. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Take
care.
Here.
Bye.
Night, Jamie.
Yeah, bye, AJ. Hi. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Hi, AJ. Thanks for waiting while we talked about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Nice to have you back. I think that this was generally a better episode of Preacher. I don't think it was great. I didn't love every part of it. I think it was better than a lot of what we've been watching for the last few weeks. I think because it had a point and it sort of went somewhere and stuff happened. Well, I think in large part because I like Cass and Tulip together on the road, and we're done with the torture storyline. It's a big reason, maybe also. I thought it was, huge chunks of it make no sense, and a lot of it was annoying, but it was, to me, it was better. You disagree?
I agree. I do agree to a point.
Okay.
I like the fact that some stuff actually happened. It was a quick episode because everything was go for a change. I'm not enjoying the God storyline. It's like they started with a premise, and then they were like the whole thing was God was done. God was like, screw this shit. I'm leaving. I'm tired of these people praying to me, and I'm just, you know, God was done. God was going on a siesta. He was like, fuck this place.
Yeah.
But now it's like the master plan of God for Armageddon and bring, you know, the whole thing with the stupid Jesus, Humperdinck.
Humperdew.
Humperdew. The whole thing with Humperdew is he's the next Messiah. If, you know, like they're preparing him for the day when, you know, Armageddon comes or they need him or, you know, whatever. And with God going on a siesta, they're all like, well, fuck it. We have Humperdew, so that's the plan. You know, this is the next Messiah. We, you know, God can go do whatever the hell he wants. But now it's like God's part of it, and they're like ready to sound the trumpet and, you know, make revelations come to fruition. And then here's Humperdinck or Humperdew, whatever the fuck his name is. And it just doesn't make sense from where we started.
I don't understand why Humperdew would be the next Messiah when they have Jesus, except for the fact that they're giving us a Jesus with daddy issues, and daddy prefers Humperdew for some reason that makes no sense. I mean, I guess he's, because he's sort of a simple person, he's capable only, I guess, of goodness. I don't really know, but I thought that it was like, I don't understand really why God prefers Humperdew, or why he thinks in any way that he's an appropriate, why is he an appropriate Messiah, and why do they need him? So he's a descendant of Jesus. He's like a very, very inbred descendant of Jesus, which only made sense right when there was no Jesus. But if you have Jesus, why do you need? Yeah. So all that makes no sense to me. I agree with you. I don't like, so what you explained from the comic book and where we started in season one was that God was like, I'm out of here. I'm done. And that's why Jesse was seeking God. Now we have a God who not only, as you say, he's got a master plan, but he's a big jerk and appears to be like messing with Jesse for reasons that are still not clear. He appears to be, so in the beginning, the show open, the cold open is God watching and rewatching a home video of Abraham when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Was that Isaac? In the Bible, he's asked to sacrifice his son, and only when he's about to kill him is God like, stop! You know, I believe you. You're willing to, you know, you're willing to sacrifice your son for me. So stop, I'm going to let him live. And then Abraham's like, oh, thank you, you're so great, God. And God's like, rewinding it, watching it. And I guess that's supposed to show us that God is like, God's kind of a jerk, right? Like God, okay, so I mean, I studied this when I was in Catholic school, but God asks him to kill his son. He's like, okay, I gotta do what God asks. Then God's like, okay, I believe you. And then like you ask a man to kill his son, and then he thanks you for sparing his son, which is kind of messed up, right? And God watches that over and over and over again.
Yeah, and I think what I got from it also is because we live in a world now where not everyone believes in God, you know? And that's kind of part of the reason that he took off was like, he's like, nobody believes in me anymore anyway, so why do I need to hang out in heaven and listen to people? You know, he's like, why do I care? You know, and that was, because he kept, you know, he replayed a couple parts, but the one part he played the most at the end there was whatever Abraham says was, you're a wonderful God, or you're such wonderful, whatever he says about being God, you know, and God kind of looks forlorn, kind of like he misses that worship, you know, and that's what it is. I mean, you want to break it down, God being selfish because he misses the worship.
Yeah.
I mean, And that's the whole thing. Jesse's story has been to find God and hold him accountable. Like, what are you doing? You can't abandon people, you know? So what if not everybody believes? I'm down here preaching your name and your word and, you know, and getting people to church and getting people to believe in you, and you just take off, you know? And he's like, you know, Jesse's thing is basically, that's bullshit, you know? You created this mess. Now, suck it up and do your damn job, you know? I mean, that's, you know, and that's not the story that we've got now. That's where we started. We don't have now. It's just like, that's the problem. I don't know where the hell we are. And the part that I got really excited about was when they got to it in a different way, But Jesse falling out of the airplane was awesome because that happens in the comics. Okay.
Oh yeah.
That leads into another story right before the big finale, there's two episodes left, so there's obviously no way how it went. And then the reason I got upset was because that was the end of the episode, and immediately following they start showing a preview, and I got upset because Tulip and Cassidy were burying him in the preview, and that's where I got upset because I was like, oh, cool. They've got this iconic moment. This is going to be good. And then they totally, obviously next week, are going to go sideways with it again. You know, it's like, don't give me something and then take it away from me that quickly. No, I'm being selfish.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate the God storyline is the main storyline because it's so annoying and God is like, I mean, with two episodes left, we still don't, I guess they're trying to hold the reveal for what God's up to, but like, it's really I know that it's based on a comic book, and more every week, I have to admit that I'm watching a comic book. Like, maybe in seasons 1 and 2, I was watching something that resembled a TV show, but I'm really watching a comic book in the way that, you know, now Tulip's car has magically driven itself to Australia.
She's got to be ferrying it really quickly.
That maybe happens in the comic book. Like, I can see how that stuff happens in a comic book and we don't really worry about it, right? And so I need to, like, discard the continuity of costumes and all that. I find the God storyline a little, and why God would associate with somebody as clearly inept as with the Grail. I mean, the Grail is obviously like a clown car of barely able people who I think, you know, in seasons like 1 and 2, like Featherstone was like a super spy who went undercover with the next door neighbor, and they were really a very, they were a force to be reckoned with in a lot of ways in the early seasons. And now they're just like really like a bunch of jokes, right? Featherstone, maybe
you know
less so,
really
but what?
The really funny thing is, you say you feel like you're watching a comic book now. The comic book, even it's in comic book format, but it never felt cartoonish like the show does now.
Yeah, which it kind of does. Yeah.
Now, you think comic book and you think about Batman and Superman and whatnot, you know, but, you know, I mean, there's lots of mediums that use, you know, comic book, you know, I mean, Buffy the Vampire Slayer after it got canceled, you know, after the last season, actually went on to tell many, many stories in comic books. It was, you know, it was still, but, you know, I mean, Supernatural's had comic books. Fringe had those, that limited run of comic books, you know? Did you ever read the Fringe ones?
I haven't read them,
but that's the general thing people think of is cartoonish with comic books. But this is not a cartoonish comic book. This is a full-blooded, you know, head-on, it's an adult comic. It's just, you know, Garth Ennis could have written a book, you know, but he chose a different route. He told his story, you know, through words and pictures. I mean, the comic book is brutal as hell. I mean, there's, you know, scenes with guts spewed all over the place and, you know, blood covering all kinds of people. I mean, there's nudity in the comic. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like, hey, kids, read this comic. You know what I mean? It's an adult comic. You know?
Yeah.
And they've turned the show into a cartoon with what's been going on. I mean, the dingo scene, that was retarded. It was so stupid.
It was very, like sixth grade. It was very sixth grade humor.
Yeah.
I felt. Yeah.
I didn't even find it funny. The only thing I found it was I made a parallel to the comic book because, and you know, in 2 weeks I can throw everything out there I want because it'll be over. But something does happen to Star that messes him up to a point, you know, which coincides with Jesse falling out of the airplane. So I'm thinking they might actually do a little bit of this story. and they, two episodes left, they really can't, and especially now that God's the one that maimed Star, so I don't see any of that happening, and seeing, you know, the preview of them burying Jesse, and it's just...
So, that scene actually interested me a lot. In the moment, for the split second where I thought, oh, is God going to kill Hare Star? Like, that would be interesting, right? But no, he's just disciplining him in a humiliating fashion. And yeah, I found it to be like playing to the show's worst instincts. There is stuff this show does well, and I really, really loved the whole first part of the show where Tulip and Cass are impersonating American cops, and it's got this whole like sort of like Mod Squad 70s like cop show feeling to it, right? I love that.
Yeah, the stuff with Tulip and Cass was really good. However, I can't get past his hair. Oh my God.
It's so bothering you. But didn't his American accent totally make you forget about his hair?
That was good. His American accent was really good. I was impressed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, last week he was just sitting there, so it was just in your face. Nothing was happening last week. But at least this week, there was a lot happening, so I wasn't focused on it, you know? So, but there was times, like when he was sitting in the diner, I was like, oh, that haircut.
So the diner. So, yes, I love the whole cop sequence. We could take it apart, but let's not. The diner, I kind of like the diner. I did not realize, it never occurred to me that Tulip hasn't read the letter yet. That scene was kind of amazing in some ways. Like, Ruth Negga was great in that scene.
I thought she did. I
thought she did.
I thought so, too. I could have swore she did, too, but.
Yeah.
But then again, Jesse's left her so many letters over the years that she was probably just like, I'm not even bothering reading this one. So I could see that she hasn't read it. Because the way she was acting, I thought for sure she read it, you know? Which other part was good because it gave the implication, but then we find out it wasn't the case that Tulip was just pissed off in general. So...
Well, and then she says to Cassidy, look, why should I read the letter? It either says, I forget how she phrases it, but she, you know, she phrases it like it either says, like, you suck or, like, you suck but I forgive you. And either way, it's I suck. And it's not really clear to me what Jesse has to say that she sucks about except for, like, sleeping with Cassidy, which both of them maintain they didn't tell.
Right.
But, like, for what reason he would say that, but it's, like... She assumes it's bad. She has been, everything she's done for the whole season, I guess, is predicated on the idea that she knows that in the letter is not good. And I just thought Ruth Negga was amazing in that scene where Cassidy's reading it to himself quietly and it goes on and on and on. And you see like the look in her eyes, I just thought Ruth Negga nailed that scene with, like, the emotion playing over her face. And then in the end when Cassidy says, like, yeah, it won't help, which he's basically confirming that, like, yeah, the letter says that you're an asshole, right?
You know what else I like? We know that Tulip's a badass, but really she can fly a plane, too.
I know, right?
And I swear,
the show has gotten so ridiculous. You can drive a car across the ocean and then fly a plane.
That's gotta be because they just didn't want to pay another actor.
Yeah. Also, where did they get a plane? We never saw that part either. But
yeah, but I mean that scene though with Jesse hanging out of the plane and Cassidy hanging on to him. That is literally ripped right out of the comics. Ripped right from the
comics. Oh.
Literally.
So were you, must have been, is that like an iconic moment from the comic? Like, is that something that you felt like you had as a reader, you like had to see that in.
So the way the show's been going, I didn't expect to see it, but that's a big moment. There's a huge moment that happens in the final hour. That I really, 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 really hope they do because it'll kind of salvage the show for me. You know, there's another big moment that they're clearly not going to do, and I had a feeling they weren't going to do because of the way they started the show with the beef guy.
Yeah.
They've hit on a couple. You know, they've hit on a couple of the big moments by not doing them the same way, but overall,
yeah.
It almost feels like they took the comic book and they ripped it up into a bunch of pieces, and then they put it into a bowl, and then they just pulled pieces out, and they said, okay, we're going to put this here. All right, we pulled this one out first, so we do this first. And we pulled this one out next, we're going to do this next. You know, it's just like this. A lot of the elements of the show are there, like the Desaad storyline. No purpose, no point whatsoever to the show.
That wasted an episode, yeah.
You know? So it's just like they pulled stuff out, and they were like, okay, we didn't pull these pieces out, so we're not even going to acknowledge that they exist. Type of things. So
yeah, you know, now that you describe it that way, that's what Desaad felt like to me. Like maybe they pulled it out of the fishbowl and they had to write it because it's iconic to the comic book, but it did not advance Jesse's character for me. I don't feel like that was a character building experience for Jesse, and so why go, except that he used Genesis and it went bad, but why waste a week on that?
The big thing for me. Sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, I was changing my thought to say I did really like that scene where Cassidy is holding Jesse out the window of the plane and his arm is burning and burning and burning, and Jesse, you know, he refuses to let Jesse go. It kind of underscored the degree to which Cassidy is still devoted to his best friend despite being in love with Tulip, and he's not going to, you know, he really is not a guy that's going to betray Jesse, throw him out the window, take the girl, all that. Like, it just showed, you know, and then for Cassidy to, like, the only way Jesse can get Cass to let go is to use Genesis on him. I did expect that he would not hit the ground because I thought that God would, you know, like, stop him, and then he hits the ground and he appears to be dead in the final moment, which I felt like, okay, he's the star and there's two more episodes, so he's not dead. But whatever. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was, God, as much as I'd hated this show for so long, I'm saying a lot of good things about this episode, aren't I?
Yeah, no, there were a lot of good things in this episode. Overall, though, the big thing for me lately is the comic book takes place in two places. It takes place in the United States and it takes place in Masada. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in three places in the States. They spend a lot of time in New York City. They spend time in New Orleans and then Texas, different parts of Texas. That's where they spend those three locations and Masada. Why we're not going to Australia and the Middle East? I mean, Grand Masada's in
Israel's in the Middle East,
But I don't understand all these different locations they're going to and how they're getting there so quickly. Like, when they go to Masada, it makes sense in the comics. This was like, and like you say, how does Tulip's car keep getting everywhere?
Yeah, Tulip's car, every time you turn around, her car flies someplace new. So they don't go
and
to Australia in the comic book.
And it's all happening within days. You know, it's not like,
yeah.
You know, 1 week later, and that's why Tulip's car is there, because it took them a week to get the car there. No. Like, she's got a fucking DeLorean,
like,
and we just don't know it.
5 minutes later, her car is there, yeah. So in the show...
Doc Brown made her car.
Yeah, right? In the show this week, it turns out that phase two of the apocalypse is that Hairstar is going to set New Zealand and Australia against each other in a nuclear war. Which is ludicrous. Is that in the comic book? Is that Hairstar's plan?
No.
Because partly why we're in Australia. No, that's not in the comic book at all.
Not even close.
I mean, it seems to me that if you wanted to put two countries against each other in nuclear war, you could pick any two other countries talk about two countries that with a peaceful coexistence, and particularly New Zealand, right? Like, I guess that's part of the joke, that it's ludicrous to to pick these two countries, and you could easily pick like Russia and almost anyone, or the U.S. and North Korea, or like to the point that they have to have like Grail people bring the bomb. Okay, so that's not in the comic book. Explains why it's so dumb. It's a dumb storyline, but I guess like her star's not supposed to be like a brilliant strategist, really. He's kind of a dopey guy. I don't know if he in the comic book is he this dumb or is he a, like a master strategist in the comic book.
Star, he's fucking brilliant. He's the protagonist throughout the whole thing, not God.
The antagonist, yeah. I think he's
God
dumb in the show, right? I think Hair Star is kind of like a joke. Like, he's the butt of all these jokes, and he's kind of dumb and has dumb plans. So, I would totally watch a cop show that was Cassidy and Tulip in Australia, unable to understand what anyone's saying, ever. This show is so good at that really stylized sort of action-y stuff. I mean, that wasn't a full action, but they like that. They're so good at. I mean, this show is great at style and not so good at substance, right?
Yep.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, but it was way better this week. So 2 more weeks left. Is that what you say?
Yep.
2 weeks. All right. 2 weeks.
Two left.
We're almost there. We're in the home stretch. So, I don't know. Anything else you're feeling about this week's episode?
Not really. I think we pretty much covered it.
I mean, we didn't
talk
about
the
Saint
episode.
At all.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the Saint.
Because all he did was walk in the dust behind Jesse. He didn't really do...
Yeah.
I mean, he saved Jesse. He saved Jesse from Eugene's bullet. Because, I guess because he needs Genesis, and the only way he can shoot God is with Jesse's help, right?
Yeah. And that scene was actually pretty funny when Jesse takes the guns from him. And,
yeah.
and
couldn't shoot him.
And the scene just kind of stands there like, really?
Yeah. I mean, I just appreciated the way that Jesse took the Saint down a little bit when he was like, look, Saint, my parents got killed, you know, and then he brings up that he and Tulip had a baby and their baby died apparently, which is not something that I'm sure that I knew. And Jesse's kind of like, look, like, my parents died, my baby died, God, like, I got a raw deal in life, but I didn't become, like, the Saint of Killers, and I'm not going to kill God over it. And he did sort of put the Saint in his place a little bit, except for the fact that the Saint doesn't really listen or care. But I thought, like, that was one of the most meaningful, like, the Saint is really underutilized, and what he represents is not really being explored that much, and I felt like that conversation with Jesse was maybe the most meaningful thing about the Saint. That all the Saint has done is walk around this whole season, and maybe that was the most, to me, that was like at least some sort of meaningful, I don't know, way for me to think about the Saint a little bit instead of just like a demon. I had forgotten, actually, that he's highly motivated by the death of his daughter. Like, in season one, he kept seeing those bodies in the trees, right? And he's really motivated by the death of his wife and daughter.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten it because he's been stripped of all motivation for, like, 2 seasons now. So I can't wait for it to end and then for you to tell me everything from the comic book that you've been keeping in.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect the next 2 weeks. You know, it's like, and you know, they've had the Saint sidelined for so long, which makes sense why you forgot half of his story. You know,
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, here he is. It's like,
yeah. So I didn't want to predict. I mean, I assume the bad guys are vanquished, the good guys prevail, God is put in his place somehow. It seems from, did you see the preview for next week?
Yeah. I'm not sure
so
what to make
looks
of it.
Like, it looks like Jesse is technically dead or having a near-death experience where he, like, goes to heaven, right? He seems to be...
Yeah, I'm not getting warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. That seems like not a... Seems unnecessary when we have all... We have God and the archangels and the devil and the saint actively walking around Earth. So I don't know why Jesse has to die to be able to speak to these people. Or who is he going to talk to in heaven when everyone else is... Everyone who matters is on Earth, right? Although it does seem like the denizens of heaven are like, Jesse, you got to help us make a change up here. But yeah, I'm not getting a great feeling about that, but it was a little better this week. So again, I'm going to hope they can stick the landing like some other shows we've watched. Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to hold out hope for at least another week. I'm going to have enough hope for both of us, okay, AJ? I've got enough hope for you and me. I'm going to try to at least.
I guess we'll find out. Well, you're not going to be around next week probably, right?
No. So I'm going to be in Uganda and 7 hours ahead. So we did sort of work out a podcast last time I traveled, but we'll see. I'm actually going to be away for two Tuesdays. The next two Tuesdays I'll be in Uganda. So we're going to have to talk about that offline and get ourselves organized somehow.
Worst case, we just run it all down in the finale.
Yeah, we could do that too. None of these shows are really that great that we have to come in every week. Maybe just kill Joyce. But we'll work it out. Whether we, I think we recorded it early 1 week.
Yeah, sorry. Grab
up. Or I could just wake up super early or whatever. We'll talk about that offline and get ourselves scheduled
later. We'll figure it. Yeah, we'll figure it later. So.
All right.
Okay. All right.
That's all, folks.
All right. Thanks, AJ, for being here. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll maybe we'll do it again next week. Maybe we'll skip a week. We'll let you know. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.